by stating the fact that you and I are in a historical lifetime event. What does that mean? How are we supposed to respond to that? What is God doing in the midst of all of this? What's the future going to look like? And I want to answer some of those questions today. What was once normal living? What was once our pattern of living? What was once normal in society, normal in business, normal in church? That's gone, isn't it? That's not normal anymore. How quick things can change. And it's true, things can change for the worst quickly, or things can change for the better quickly as well. There's lots of times you and I have seen that, and we're seeing some of that again today. To quote a popular song from way back in 1987, I know some of you can't remember that far back. You weren't even born yet, but I remember this song. And this song was, "It's the end of the world as we know it, and I feel fine." And that was such a popular song back in my day, back in my young adult life. And it's been played a little bit as well recently. People are looking around and going, "Hey, is this the end of the world as we know it? And I'm just here to serve notice on you. This is the end of the world as we have known it." It's not the end of the world, but it's the end of the old normal. And there's a new normal that's coming to us right now, right here. What does that mean? What does that look like? Historically, we have had end of the world as we know it moments many times. If you look back in history, the world has changed again and again and again and again. Life has changed, society has changed, the way we interact has changed. It's happened over and over and over, and it's happening again right now in your lifetime and in my lifetime. Now, some of those changes were bad. They were horrible. And some of what we're seeing in this change, it's bad. There's friends that I have that have died. There's people that I know that are suffering. There's economic suffering. There's grief and sorrow. There's all sorts of pain and trauma going on. But I do believe that coming out of this, God's going to create some good, and we're going to have some new normal that's going to be better for us in some ways. Now, we're never going to get people back that we've lost, but if they go to heaven and we go to heaven, we're going to get that back, right? What an amazing hope that is. And we definitely love that, and we appreciate the fact that Jesus has provided heaven for us. Isn't that good? You talk about a new normal. That's going to be a new normal. No more tears. No more crying, no more sorrow, no more pain, no more viruses, no more sheltering in place, no more of that. It's going to be joy unspeakable and full of glory. We do have an amazing future to look forward to. But the end of the world as we know it, events are actually pretty normal. And we really need them. In Genesis chapter 1, the Bible declares that the earth and the solar system was dark and void, and it was lifeless. That was normal. But God created a new normal, and you and I are living in a beautiful planet, in a beautiful solar system. We're still discovering everything that God has created. We haven't even come close to seeing it all or grasping it all. So that was a new normal. Hey, Adam and Eve are in the garden. Things are good. Things are really good. That was their normal. But then Satan comes, deception comes, disobedience comes, and they get a new normal. That was not a good new normal, was it? That wasn't good. We all kind of wish we could go back to the garden and have that kind of a life. And God's promised us something like that in the future, in eternity, and we're looking forward to that. But even in that bad new normal, when sin came and death came to the planet, God gave us a promise. He said, the seed of woman is going to crush the head of evil and deception. And that was a prophecy about Jesus Christ. Guess what? Jesus came and there was a new normal. I'm liking this new normal. Jesus forgives our sin. Jesus washes our conscience. Jesus gives us a new life, a new power, and he puts his Spirit inside of us. And that's a new normal that is glorious, and it's wonderful. So there's been a lot of historical new normals, and we need them. I remember when I was a teenager getting ready to start adulting, you know, what was my adult life going to look like? I poked my head up above the crowd and I looked around and I saw what was normal for them and normal for them and normal for them. And I started choosing. I actually believed that I could choose my life. I could choose a future. I could choose how I would live and what kind of a life I would have. And I looked around and I said, I don't want that to be my normal. I don't want that to be my normal. But I would like some of that to be normal for me. I would like some of that to be normal for me. And I just began making choices in life because I wanted a better life than I had even as a teenager. And I wanted to create a family that was better. I wanted to create a heritage that was better. And I'm still today looking around saying, God, what is the new normal that you want for me, for my marriage, for my children and my grandchildren, my sons-in-law? God, what is the new normal you want for us? Because I don't want to get stuck in a rut. I don't want to stay the same. I don't want to just get used to the way it is now and think that's as good as it gets. God always is inviting me into something better. He's inviting me into a better normal, a better life, better relationships, and he's wanting to grow me into a better person. So I'm still doing that today. I know transitions are hard. Can you say amen to that? Anybody gone through hard transitions? They're stressful, they're hard. We like to avoid them if we can, even though if we think the change is going to be better, the transition itself is hard. And it is true, and we know that. We get used to our current normal, and even if it's not that great, it's what we know. We've become a little bit comfortable with it, and we're afraid of what a new normal might look like. What would a new relationship look like? What would life without alcohol look like? What would a different job look like? How would that be? And sometimes we just get stuck in our old normal because we're afraid of what a new normal might look like. Transitions are hard, but I tell you what, God will walk through transitions with us. We're in a transition, and I hope you're feeling the fact that God's walking with you through this transition. You're not alone. You may feel alone. You may feel a little isolated. You may feel, you know, like you're quarantined. Anybody feel that? Yeah, we feel that, but we're not alone. God's with us. God's way out in front of us also. He's making plans for us. He's setting things up for our future. And that's a lot of good things that are going on. And I hope you're feeling that, and I hope you know that. But it's uncomfortable to go through change. The only person that likes change is a wet baby, right? You've heard that before, and I think that's pretty true. We don't like change. Change is uncomfortable, but change is really good for us so many times. So we're going to be going through new normals throughout our life, over and over and over. They may not be as big as this. I don't know. This is a global, worldwide event that is changing our normal. Not every change is that big. Sometimes it's a change in your marriage or your family or a friendship or a neighborhood. Sometimes it's a change in just the way you think, the way you feel, the way you react to things. Sometimes it's an inner healing so that you can be stronger and so you can be better. There's just a lot of changes that go on, and we need those, and they're important for us. The natural thing is for things to decay, right? Anybody have a garden? And if you don't tend it, if you don't weed it, if you don't plant it, it's just as a mess. A yard, if you don't tend it and take care of it, it's a mess, right? Natural things is decay. If you don't take care of your body, your vehicle, the natural thing is for them to wear out and decay long before their time. And so, yeah, we have to work on things. We have to make sure that we're engaged in things. And because things naturally decay, God has a plan, and his plan is a couple of R-E words, renewal, reformation, and revival. God's always looking for renewal. Can I give you some renewal? Can I renew you? Can I make you new again? Can I help you again? Can I restore you again? Revival, I don't know if you like that word or not, but I love that word. Something that's dying or something that's on its last gasp of breath or something that's decayed to a great degree, God wants to revive that and restore that. And restoration is a beautiful thing. Reformation, we've heard that in the church world for a while. And it's important to have reformations. We might be going through a reformation right now. We've been doing church online. There's a whole new group of people involved in technology in ways we've never been involved in the past. We're learning new skills. We're getting new equipment. And there's a reformation going on. Some people may think that's good or bad. I don't know, but usually on a reformation, there's people on both sides. And sometimes on changes, there's people on both sides. But if we go through human history as documented in the Bible, we see so many changes, and there were declines and revivals. You remember reading those things in the Bible? There were problems, and then there were resolutions. There was just total disaster, and then there was a reformation that occurred. And that happened again and again. God loves creating new normals for us. The enemy is always trying to destroy us. He's always trying to get in there and make things worse. He steal and kill and destroy. That's what he does. There's always this warfare between good and evil. Do you feel it? Have you felt it in your life? I've felt it in my life. There's this warfare that's going on between good and evil. Because of that, there needs to be new normals. The enemy's trying to create a new normal that's evil and dark. And God comes in and revives us and restores us and gives us a different new normal. And God has new seasons. God has new things that he's doing. And we should understand that and be a part of that. Think about in Noah's day. Was that like a new normal? The earth was dark and evil, and men's thoughts were only evil continually, the Bible says. And then there was a global flood. Yeah, that was a new normal. We can think about Moses' day. They were captured and they were stuck in Egypt as slaves. But God came and gave them a new normal. And we can think about David and Daniel. And over in the Bible, God was creating some new normals. Some people thrived in the midst of bad times. Other people, they were the ones that God used to create good times and better times and victories. Either way, if you're in the bad times or the good times, God's always at work. He's always working a plan. He's doing things. I know some of you haven't been too negatively affected by this pandemic, and you're just kind of coasting along and think that it's not as bad as everybody says. But other people, they're suffering greatly. They're losing family members. They're losing their jobs. They're losing their financial strength. They're losing everything. Some people are. And I know it touches us differently. Whether it's really horrible for you or not so bad, I want you to know that God is right there with you in the middle of it. And he's saying, I'm going to give you a new normal. I'm going to help you out of this. I'm going to give you grace and strength and support and help. It's going to be okay. Your future is more real than your past. God has a future planned for you that's going to be better than anything you've ever had in your past. Well, when new normals come and when God's doing things, some people respond well to it and other people don't respond very well to it. It seems like other people get it, jump in, participate, hear what God's doing, and they're with God. Other people are standing back and thinking it's not a good thing. And we can read so many things, times in the Bible where people stood back and resisted something God was doing, and it didn't turn out very good for them. So I want to encourage you, God's doing some things, and I want to encourage you to get on the team with him. I want to encourage you to try to understand what he's doing and make sure you're not fighting what God's doing. because there's a lot of good people with good hearts that ended up on the wrong side of things, and I don't want us to be those people today in this moment. I don't want us to be those people. So what category are you in today? Are you going to be responding well or responding badly to what God's trying to do? If you have your Bibles, we're going to look in Joshua chapter 3, verses 1 through 5. So the children of Israel, they came out of Egypt, right? And then the older generation couldn't quite figure it out. They couldn't get used to the new normal, and they ended up dying off in the wilderness. They were kind of rebellious and hard-hearted and just couldn't quite cooperate with God. Joshua and Caleb were like the two that said, yeah, we can do it. God's big. God's going to take care of us. But everybody else didn't make it. So we're coming to a place where there's only two older people in the picture. It's Joshua and Caleb and all these young adults and their children, and they're getting ready to go into a new normal. They're getting ready to go into the promised land. And here's some words that was spoken about this event. It says in verse 1, then Joshua rose early in the morning, and they set out from the Achaia Grove and came to Jordan, he and all the children of Israel, and they lodged there before they crossed over. They were doing a little bit of quarantining or something there. They were lodging and hanging out for a few days before they could cross over. So it was that after 3 days that the officers went through the camp, and they commanded the people, saying, when you see the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord your God and the priest, the Levites, bearing it, then you shall set out from your place and go after it. You need to move when it's time to move. You need to stay still when it's time to stay still. Then you need to move when it's time to move. Has God ever talked to you about that? There's been a lot of times God said, hey, Kelly, stay still. Be quiet. There's been other times he says, now get up and move and let's go. Let's say something. Let's do something. And it's important to know what season you're in. Verse 4, he says, and yet there shall be a space between you and it, about 2,000 cubits by measure. Do not come near it, that you may know the way by which you must go, for you've not passed this way before. So don't get ahead of God's plan. Don't get out beside it. Make sure you stay back so you can follow well. And I love that phrase, you haven't been this way before, but I'm going to lead you. I'm going before you. I'm going to part the river. I'm going to let you walk across on dry land. I'm going to give you victory on the other side. You haven't been this way before. This is a new normal. Don't just go by your past experiences. Don't just go by your old ideas and your old thoughts. Don't just go by that. I've got a new normal for you. You haven't been this way before. Make sure you follow well. When I read that, I'm saying, oh God, help me to follow you well. Help me not to get out in front of you or not to go the wrong direction or to not to miss the direction, the directives, the instructions that you have for me. Amen? And then verse 5, Joshua said to the people, sanctify yourselves, for tomorrow the Lord will do wonders among you. Man, I love the leader standing up and saying, hey, you need to prepare yourself, cleanse yourself, sanctify yourself, get ready, because tomorrow, in the future, God's going to do amazing things, miraculous things, wonderful things, and He wants you to participate. So get ready. I hope you've been getting ready. I hope you haven't been just watching Netflix all day, all week, and all month. I hope you've been getting ready. I hope that you've been hearing what God's been saying. You've been listening to Pastor Arby. You've been applying these messages. I hope you've been getting ready. Sanctify yourself. What does that mean? You need to clean up your life a little bit. You need to make sure there's nothing between you and God. You need to make sure there's no sin going on in your life that could trip you up or destroy you or ruin you. Sanctify yourself. There's times that we need to be a little more serious with God. These are some of those times right now. You need to be serious regarding who God is and what God wants. He has a future full of miracles, amazing and wonderful things for you, and you can participate if you want to, or you could end up missing it because of sin and distraction. So Joshua says, if we're going to get what God wants us to get, we got to get closer to Him. We got to live a little better. We got to make sure we sanctify our life, get our heart right, get our attitude right, get our thinking right, get our spirit right, so that we can hear, follow, and receive. Now, almost everybody did that. Almost everybody did really well. There's a new normal. So they crossed on dry land. They grabbed 12 stones out of the middle of the Jordan River, set them up for a monument to say, look what God has done. God parted the Jordan River for us. We came across on dry land. And the very first city that they came to in this next chapter was Jericho, right? And God says, hey, this is a new normal. When you left Egypt, I gave you lots of things from Egypt. I gave you their wealth, their gold, their silver. You plundered the land and you came out with lots of resources. While you were in the wilderness, I fed you with manna. But we're coming into a new normal. And Jericho is like the tithing. Jericho is like, this is my city, this is mine, and I want to teach you that you serve me first. You take care of me first. You give your first and your best to me because I'm God. After that, I will give you wealth, abundance, everything that you need. I want to supply all of your need, but you need to learn to trust me first and put me first. So God spoke that clearly to them, and it said all the treasuries from Jericho is going into the treasury of the Lord, and it's going to be used for ministry purposes, and no person can have anything out of this city. And everybody except one did really well with that. Achan had a problem, didn't he? He decided that he wanted some of the gold, he wanted some of those garments, and he hid them in his tent. Well, this was a new normal. You're supposed to have been sanctifying yourself. You're supposed to have been preparing yourself because God's going to do miracles. Was it a miracle that the walls of Jericho fell down flat and all they did was march around it for 6 days and on the seventh day, march around it seven times, blow the trumpets, give a big shout, and we saw the power of God. They didn't win that city by their own military strength. They won it by the power, the gift, the blessing of God. And that's why they were supposed to honor God. But Achan ended up taking something that was a curse that he shouldn't have taken. And then they went to the next city, which was Ai. And now all of a sudden they go to Ai and say, oh, we can take this city with 2,000 or 3,000 people. And they went and they got whipped and they got defeated. So Joshua is praying, saying, God, why did you bring us here to destroy us? Why did you bring us here? And God finally just said, Joshua, shut up and get up. There's sin in the camp. And there's times that God can speak that blunt to you. He has to me, Kelly, shut up. Maybe God would say, be quiet. But no, he says, shut up. He's not politically correct all the time, is he? Kelly, shut up. Be quiet. There's sin in the camp. Go deal with that, and then the blessing will return. And once they dealt with that, the blessing returned. And there was a lot of new normals there. And there's new normals in our life, but you've not gone this way before. Your history, your past experiences, they're not going to serve you perfectly and exactly in this new normal. We got to get some new instruction from God. We got to find out what God wants now. What is God saying now? People don't always agree or they don't always follow what God wants. Have you figured that out? Have you been that person where you didn't always agree with God and you didn't always want to follow what God wanted? The 12 spies, they come out of Egypt, right? They had amazing 10 plagues. They come across the Red Sea on dry land. And then when they look at the promised land, they say, we can't do it. God can't do it. 10 said they couldn't. 2 said they did. The 10 were wrong. The 2 were right. Remember when God gave them manna?
He said, this is a new normal. I'm going to feed you. That sounds really cool, right? So he says, you just gather enough for every day, every morning, except on Saturday, on Friday, you gather twice as much, because on the Sabbath, I don't want you gathering anything or working. But they all figured out they'd do it their own way. A bunch of them did, and it was wrong. So people, we don't always do what's right with God. Even though we know God, we've had past experiences with God. But this message today is trying to encourage you and I. There's a new normal coming. It's here. Make sure you tap into what is God saying? What is God wanting? In the new normal, you must yield to the new rules and the new expectations that God has. And we struggle with that sometimes as human beings. North Idahoans maybe struggle with it even more than other people. A little independent that way, I don't know. But God has a reason for what he says. And you need to trust him. If God says don't do that, you need to trust him and not do that, because he has a reason for what he's saying. If God says get up and go do that, you need to trust him, because he has a reason for what he is saying. So we need to figure out what are the new rules and what are the new expectations in this new normal and obey God. Are you full of fear, negativity, blame, suspicion, chaos? What is this pandemic doing in your life? There's a lot of opinions out there, isn't there? Man, I could get on my soapbox right now. I could give you my opinion. But there's a lot of opinions out there. From is not really a virus, to it's a big conspiracy, to it's the Democrats, to it's the deep state, to it's China. There's a lot of opinions out there. It's just a natural thing from a bat, you know, whatever. There's lots of opinions out there. And we know that there are a lot of opinions out there, but what is this whole thing doing inside of you? Is there fear, rebellion, negativity, blame, suspicion, chaos, or are you looking up, seeking God, engaging in renewal and reformation and revival? God, what are you saying? I know what the president's saying. I know what the World Health Organization is saying. I know what other people are saying. But God, what are you saying? What do you want us to do? Are you looking for that? Are there some changes that you know you need to make? You've come to terms with, wow, I was not ready for this. I need to make some changes in my life. Don't waste this moment. Don't waste this opportunity. Maybe you need to sanctify yourself. Maybe you need to get ready so you can see the miracles of God. What are some changes that you need to make? I've looked in my life. There's changes that I need to make, and I'm making those changes right now. God gave me a revelation yesterday of something that has been in my life since I was probably 16 years old. And he said, Kelly, it's time to get rid of that. That's not helping you. It's a sanctification thing. He says, you need to forgive that. You need to get over that. You need to get through that, because that is coloring your world in a different way than I want you to see the world. And it's affecting you. You may not even realize how much it is affecting you, but it's affecting you. This morning, I had a new understanding of how that was negatively affecting me. So I repented. I said, God, cleanse my heart. There's some things I got to change. And God's helping me do that, and he's helping me make those changes. Do you see gaps and problems and weak points in your old normal? Whoo, boy, that old, that 2019 life, that old normal, I see where that could have been a lot better. How's your prayer life? How's your daily time with God? How's your family, your marriage? How's your finances? How are things in your life? What have your priorities been? What will your new priorities be? I don't know about you, but this is kind of shaking up priorities. It's like, maybe all that wasn't that important. Maybe there are things that are more important that I wasn't even given any attention to. And there's a new normal coming, and I want to be a part of that in the very best way possible. Do you understand new things today that you missed a few months ago? Is there a new awareness in your life that you totally missed those things a few months ago? You had your head down, you were busy, you were engaged, you were just going through your old normal, but now you've stopped, you've thought, you've looked, and there's some changes. There's something that you missed earlier that now you're seeing. You appreciate new things that you took for granted a few months ago. Sometimes you take your health for granted, your business for granted, your financial opportunities, your friendships. You know, it's like I really depended on these friends to get me through every day, every week, every month, and now I can't hang out with my friends. And so you realize that you took some things for granted. Are you worried about the future? Are you suffering today? Do you regret some things you lost in the past and you want to see those things restored? Maybe in the last 10 years you've lost some things and you realize, God, I let some things slip. I don't want to do that. Let's get back to a new normal. Let's get revival. Let's get restoration going. Are there things that you thought were really important in your past that you now realize are not that important? They're pretty insignificant. Maybe sports and running your kids around or watching sports yourself, and now you realize it's not all that important. I was kind of a NASCAR fan, and one of my friends said, you know, if you took a big bag of Skittles, put them in the toilet, and flushed it, it would be just like a NASCAR race. I think he was picking on me. I don't know. But I realized that maybe sports wasn't that important. Maybe all that overtime at work wasn't that important. Maybe some of the things that I prioritized really weren't that important. And there's a new normal going on. In the next few weeks, things are going to be opening up. They're going to be changing again. What does that mean for you? What does that mean for you, your life? Maybe you've gotten normal to... Maybe you feel like quarantining is normal and being separated is normal. And there's probably some of you that are dying inside because you miss your social life. And there's probably others of you that are going, hallelujah, let's quarantine another month, you know, because you're a little antisocial. But whatever side of the fence you're on, things are going to be changing next week. What does that mean for you? And then in the next month, changing again. And in the next month, changing again, and then 6 months, or we don't know what the changes are going to be, but there's going to be some new normals over and over and over as we deal with this. Are you ready for that? Are you going to be grateful or negative? Have you ever met people that they're just negative about life? Everything's negative. They don't have rose-colored glasses at their house. They have brown glasses that see things in a brown way. And maybe they're poop-colored glasses or something like that. You like those poop emojis? Maybe people have glasses that look like that, you know? And everything they see in the world looks bad. It looks stinky. It looks negative. And you can see the world that way if you want to, but what a terrible way to live. Maybe you should see things in a little more positive light. Maybe you should be grateful instead of negative. I have a son-in-law that he doesn't like November because people start saying what they're thankful for. And he goes, for 10 months they've been negative and critical and harsh, and now all of a sudden on their Facebook feed they're saying, I'm grateful for Skittles, or I'm grateful for rainbows, you know, or I'm grateful for, and he says it's hypocritical and he doesn't like it. But what if we could develop a lifestyle of gratitude? What if we could do that instead of negativity? If you want to see the world through a negative lens, there's always going to be something negative that you can talk about. But if you want to see the world positively, wow, there are thousands and thousands of beautiful things that we can focus on. Maybe that's your new normal, that God wants you to quit being so negative and start being grateful. Start having this heart of gratitude. Are you just waiting to get back to normal, or are you ready for a new normal? I got some friends, they're just waiting. They're just hunkered down, waiting for things to get back to normal. I hope you can see something better than that. I hope that you realize We have a new opportunity for a new normal that's full of amazing, wonderful, miraculous things. And God is doing that in our midst. I hope you're not just waiting for things to get back to the old normal. God wants to improve your life today. God wants to improve my life today. I'm coming out of this better. I'm coming out of this more focused than ever before. And I thank God for that. So God wants you to get this new normal. What's it look like for you? Don't waste this moment. Don't waste this opportunity. Wouldn't it be terrible if a lifetime historical event happened and you missed it? And you missed the opportunity to make something good out of that, to experience what God was doing in the midst of that. I hope none of us, a year from now, 5 years from now, should the Lord tarry, 10 years from now, look back and say, wow, I missed that. I didn't realize what God was doing. I hope that we can sense what God's doing and we can yoke up and link up with Him and do it with Him. There's a new normal coming your way. Don't miss it. Don't miss it. It's a beautiful opportunity. Do not miss this new normal. So our future's more real than our past. That's been my theme all year long. It's pretty cool. I started talking about that in September, and now here we are in this situation, and I'm being able to tell our pastors and our churches, hey, our future's more real than our past. God's got good things planned for us. And that's an amazing revelation that God gave us months and months ago, and it's really true today. I hope you live that out. I hope you experience your future can be better, more real, more fulfilling than your past. You've got an opportunity right now to make some changes and to experience God. So God has big plans for your future. Make sure you get there. Make sure you get into the future. Maybe for some of you it's salvation. Maybe you've not ever been saved and your family didn't talk anything good about God or church, and you guys had no history about worshiping God, going to church, being saved. And God is saying, today's your chance, and now's your opportunity. There's a new normal coming to you, and it's good. It's wonderful. It's glorious. It's going to be liberating for you. You're going to be so happy. You're going to experience your Creator and His love, His forgiveness, the power of His Holy Spirit in your life. You're going to experience Him. If you've not ever been saved, today's the day. Today's the day to say, God, I'm ready for my new normal. I ask you to forgive me for not serving you in the past. Cleanse me of all my sin. And help me to learn to develop a relationship with you. Lord, help me. Maybe you were saved and you've wandered away from God. Today's the day you say, God, I'm coming back. And I've had wrong priorities. I've had wrong thoughts about you, and I've had wrong thoughts about church, and Satan deceived me and he tricked me. But now I see, and God, I'm coming home. Just like the parable of the prodigal son, man, God stands with his arms wide open. He's been waiting for you. And he's welcoming you. Come home. And if you'll come home, I've got an amazing future planned for you. And he really does. So maybe that's where you're at. Maybe you need healing. You need cleansing. That story that I talked to you about that just yesterday, God put his finger on an area of my life. There's an inner healing. There's an inner wound inside of me from an important person in my life, and I've never forgiven that person. I thought I had, but you know you haven't when negative emotions pop up, you know, and some resentment pops up, and I've not hated the person. I just was so disappointed and hurt, and God says that's not helped you or them, and he also showed me today that one of my very best friends, there's a relational connection that I have with him, but it's been strained,
And I didn't know why, and I didn't understand the emotion, but it comes back to that very event in my life when I was 16 years old. And I'm just saying, so God, I don't want this impacting me negatively for the rest of my life. Lord, I need inner healing. I need you to set me free. God, I release that experience to you. That experience has no bearing on my value, on my humanity, on my relationship with you. And it, I don't want it to have any more connection to my future. I don't want it to be an anchor dragging me down. And so Jesus has set me free. I can't wait to experience the new freedom out in my future as I've dealt with this and got healing from this. And maybe there's something in your past that you've not ever gotten through it. You've never gotten healed from it. You've never been restored from it. And God is saying, hey, I've got a new normal for you. And if you'll come to me, if you'll give me that, I'll set you free. And I will just totally change your life from this day forward. Maybe that's you. You need healing. Maybe you need physical healing. You need some spiritual soul healing. Maybe you need that in your life. Maybe you need cleansing. Maybe you got an addiction going on. You can't get free from it. You're trying to, but you opened yourself up and you took a hold of it. And now it's got a hold of you. I have an experience I'm not going to talk to you about today, but where I got a hold of something one time and I couldn't let it go, and it had a hold of me. And it was an animal, but that's as far as I'm going to go. But there's times that you reach out and grab a hold of something and you think you're going to do one thing, but it has a different plan for your future. Some of you are trapped in addiction. You thought you could use it and you could benefit from it, but now it has you. God says, I can set you free from that. I can walk you through a process and you can be a person with a brand new future. And I want that for you. I want that for you. Maybe you're feeling weak and God wants you to feel empowered. Maybe you felt weak your whole life, but God says, no, you need to feel empowered, and I want to empower you. I really believe prophetically there's some people who have felt weak their whole life, and today God's giving you an opportunity for this new future, for this new normal, for this new plan. And he wants you to feel empowered instead of weakened. That would be awesome, wouldn't it? Maybe you felt insignificant your whole life, and God wants you to know how significant and amazing you really are, and that would be a new normal for you. Maybe you've never impacted the world or your family or your friends or your community like you've wanted to, and there's always something that got in the way. But God says, I want to give you an ability to impact positively this world around you. I want to give you influence. I want to give you resources so you can do that, and that would be your new normal. Man, there's 1,000 possibilities here today. But I'm here to tell you that God is offering you and I a new normal. He's bringing a new normal into our world. You might as well get on board. You might as well participate. You shouldn't just stay stuck in your past. You shouldn't stay stuck in your old life. There's something better coming into your future. And make sure you stick with that. You've not been this way before. Isn't that what Joshua told him? You have not been this way before. Make sure you sanctify yourself and follow closely. Hey, we're just in the first quarter of 2020. We've not been this way before. It's a new world out there. But guess what? God's out in front of us. God's got plans. And he's got a new normal ready for you. And he wants you to have that. So, hey, God bless you today. We love you so much. Arby's going to come back, and he's going to share with us those announcements again.
Thank you, Kelly. So a few announcements as we go today. Remembering the church is still out there, being the church. God's name is extended to our community and the body. So thank you all for your support and your active part in ministry as we go through this new normal. So a couple other things, tithe and offering, if you want to give at the Life Center, you can do that through our mailbox, mail-in, or you can do that on the website. You'll see those posted there in the comments.
Also, remembering next week is communion, and we are going to be open here at the Life Center, so you're welcome to come attend in person. Or if you're at home, make sure you have your provisions ready to receive communion with us as a body. And also, of course, next week we'll be participating in the recommendations of social distancing and keeping things safe and clean so that we can all come and worship together and prevent any spread of illness amongst us. So God bless you guys. Let me pray with you and then have a great day. Father, we just thank you, Lord God, that we can gather around the globe, God, with this amazing